How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Let's get the perspective from someone who invests in cybersecurity companies. Gary Kusanoff talks to us about his perspective on the cybersecurity market. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So, Gary, tell me a little bit about what you and your firms do, because you've got two different involvements from my background understanding.
Yeah, so Real Defense Holdings is a holding company that's in the consumer privacy and security space. We acquire often underperforming assets or divestitures of companies that are larger and they're looking to divest a smaller group within the organization, or an enterprise company who wants to divest a consumer brand or product. And we take these assets and we optimize them. We increase sales, we improve operating environment, we bring in new management if necessary, and optimize this organization so they increase lifetime value and, most importantly, increase improve consumer satisfaction and product quality.
Okay. So a lot of my listeners are, you know, these IT service owners that are generally consumers of a lot of these cybersecurity products. Give us a little bit of insight into how you measure success in your investments.
Sure. So multiple ways, but our approach to market is that our go-to-market strategy is we take consumer products, software, for example, and bundle them with services. So very similar to how, let's say, a telco company will bundle telephone service with internet access or cable television networks. And they, by doing so, they increase lifetime value, increase retention, and reduce their operating expenses. And so our approach is the same, or similar, I should say. And what we found is that software in today's cybersecurity privacy environment cannot be sold without a service. It just doesn't make any sense for consumers. There are too many moving pieces, too many devices. Average consumers in the United States have 8 to 10 devices connected to the internet. And in the near future, that's going to probably double or triple as you get IoT devices all being connected and managed internally or by a household, head of the household. and various different threats that are emerging. Your cars are getting connected to your home. Your home's getting connected to the internet. And so all those converging technologies need to be managed from a security standpoint. And so we are building an environment where consumers can plug into our platform and they can manage all their security from one place. And so imagine enterprise environment at your home. And so that's kind of what we're building at Real Defense.
Got it. So give me a little bit of a sense of how you look at the time frame. Are you looking to, when you buy something or invest in something, are you looking for a return on that investment in a year, 3 years, 5 years? Is it a machine to pull money out of over forever? How do you guys measure it financially?
So we have many measurements, but we're not looking to build this and sell. We're looking to grow it and generate profit. So we've been profitable since day one. Real Defense has been a profitable company since day one. We are trying to build a bigger organization by adding accretive acquisitions to our company. We look for before we do a transaction, before we get an acquisition completed, we look for synergies and we look for ways that we can benefit from the combined entity before a transaction is completed. So in the transactions that we have completed in the past couple of years, they've all been doubled in size in terms of revenue and profitability. Declining businesses have turned into growing businesses. And so we have a formula that works and we're very happy with it. It's not just technology, it's also human driven. We have a very good management team and good investors, Corbell Capital Partners, who are very strong in this category in terms of providing the right structure in terms of debt and equity that allows us to be, gives us the flexibility to grow the business.
The reason that I wanted to talk to you was that with all this flood of money that's coming into the space, you've got some thoughts on the way that this is directly changing product roadmaps. Tell me a little bit of the way you think that the flood of VC money in the security space is changing the way software is being developed in those roadmaps.
Sure. So there's a lot of things going on. One is that consolidation in the space on the enterprise side is necessary for companies to develop new categories of products or new services quickly and deliver those products and services to the clients. And it's very difficult for companies to invest into R&D because it takes time. And so if you can acquire a creative solution that's going to ultimately make your client more secure and better off, you may want to do that. And that's going to serve the client better. It's going to serve your organization better and build, hopefully, a complete suite of solutions. There's also a lot of gaps. If you look at the enterprise space, we're always catching up. We're always behind the curve. Bad guys are always ahead of the curve. And so we're trying to build solutions that address the future of the threats, zero-hour attacks. And in the enterprise side or the consumer side, it's the same problem. And so that's why there's a lot of evolution, a lot of M&A, a lot of money going into it. And as a percentage of total spend in terms of corporate, on P&L side, you'll see that the amount of money that's spent on cybersecurity is relatively small compared to other expenditures. And so companies are realizing that now, and governments as well, and you're going to see a lot more money flow into cybersecurity. If you look at global GDP, I think it's over $100 trillion. Shouldn't we spend at least $500 billion on protecting $100 trillion in GDP? I think we should. And that's not including existing assets. And so if you look at it in totality, it's a lot more to defend. And cybersecurity is or the threats that we're seeing now with cryptocurrencies in particular, it's very hard to trace these individuals. And so that's why there's a lot of M&A activity. I mean, these are high-level reasons, but that's...
Sure. All right. So I'm going to put forth a premise, and then I want to get your take on the premise, right or wrong. So my premise is that with all the M&A that's in this space... This seems really good for investors. It seems really good for product companies, but actually it's bad for customers. And it's bad for customers because nothing is allowed to mature. And with this model plus the speed of the attackers, customers never get ahead. What's your take on that?
Well, I think in some instances they do get ahead, and then, for instance, the consumer side, I think that the problem for consumers, for instance, is a lack of choices. So, recent transactions with McAfee, Norton, where they've acquired Avira and Bolgard and Avast, and kind of gobbled up all of the large players, there's just less options for consumers, which means price will probably go up, which means there will be less innovation because there's less R&D labs, less need to innovate because there's less competitors out there.
Well, let me push on this, because what space do you think is less competitive? Is that antivirus or EDR? Like, because when I look at the cybersecurity space, all I see is thousands and thousands of vendors. How is there less competition there?
Let's just take consumer cybersecurity, for example. There are only a handful of companies that actually make their own antivirus engines. And most of the ones that you see out there, if you're seeing, let's say, hundreds of antivirus companies, they're using someone else's engine. They're licensing someone else's. And so the actual development of antivirus engines is done by a handful of companies. And those companies are, some of them are undercapitalized, some of them are very big. There is a very, very small middle market in this space. And so the consumer is going to have less options because of acquisitions. And so when there's less options, there's less R&D, there's less innovation. And so to a certain extent, consumers may benefit from maybe better comprehensive solutions from one particular vendor, like, let's say, Norton, for example, but they're going to not benefit from price, and they may not benefit from not having more options in the same category of product.
But that's antivirus, which is one small piece of the puzzle. And to be fair, antivirus is a rather commoditized piece and a reasonably mature technology, of which it's only one small part of the stack. I guess I'm not entirely understanding how that a space that's maturing, having a few less players, like I guess I'm not really seeing where that's the problem in the larger cybersecurity space.
If you take a large antivirus company, they're not just building an antivirus technology. So they have identity protection products and services. They have NortonLifeLock is a good example of that. They have technologies for optimization. They have technologies for privacy management. And so it's not just antivirus. Antivirus is a kind of a go-to terminology when people think about cybersecurity. But it's far more than that. The whole technology stack, and one of the things that Real Defense is working on is creating solutions for companies that want to include cybersecurity within their technology stack. So as you're building, let's say, a Twilio telecommunications stack, you may want to include a component of cybersecurity within that stack. If you're building an app for, grocery shopping, you may want to include a cybersecurity stack within your technology stack. And so developers don't typically think about these things. They build a product first, and then they learn later that there's some kind of a hole, or their technology is not part of a bigger sort of cybersecurity ecosystem, and they have to catch up to it. And we're seeing companies are now thinking ahead and thinking to include cybersecurity within their technology stack. And as that happens, consumers will definitely win. But today, to your point, what's happening is because of consolidation, and part of it is R&D, because it's very difficult to develop these technologies and stay ahead. And so companies want to buy technologies that are out there and R&D teams that are out there. But as you compress them and put them in one under one umbrella, you're going to have less innovation. This is just what happens with automotive. It happens in airline industry, same thing.
Okay.
And so we're sort of going that direction. But I think this is a, ultimately, the consumer is going to win. Where the dangers are is that the technologies in general that are built out there, whether it's hardware, IoT, software, they don't incorporate cybersecurity as part of their technology development process. It's an afterthought. And so it has to be the other way around. If you build something, you got to say, okay, how am I protecting my users from cyber attacks? And if you can't think through, how to protect users, don't build a product.
Gotcha. All right. So But so I want to go a little further on this space because, you know, I get the investment and why everyone wants to put products into the space. But one of the other areas that I've been focused on here is that for most of these products, those that develop the product have very little financial risk involved with what happens. The risk actually falls on the services provider and on the customer. So again, you've talked a lot about the antivirus space. If something fails from an antivirus perspective, the creator of the engine suffers no financial risk to that. The service provider has to do a bunch of cleanup. The customer does a bunch of loss, but there's no actual financial incentive to be good at this besides sell a product. I think this needs to change in order to have the product people need to start getting involved. For example, something like what Sentinel One is doing with their actual, you know, warranty offering, or like a resilience where it's an investment of software plus cyber insurance. What's your take on the financial incentives of those developing products in this space?
Sure, it's a good question. So the analogy here is your home, right? You have an alarm system in your home, on your front doors and in your windows, and then the alarm system company will never guarantee that their alarm will protect against every intrusion, right? There's no such guarantee. They can make sure the technology works, and they'll notify you if there's an intrusion. They can't block it from happening if the thief was able to break in. So how do you protect yourself? You get an insurance policy. The insurance policy covers you in a situation where if something was stolen, if your home was breached. Now, on the consumer side, when it comes to cybersecurity, it's not something consumers think about. So they don't buy cybersecurity policies, not yet at least. Enterprises do, and my company, we have it, and we protect it against various different intrusions. The insurance industry itself has to catch up to definitions of what is a cyber threat, because they protect against certain types of cyber threats, but not others. And the reason is because they don't understand those other threats. And so that industry is still relatively young in terms of, you know, comprehensive solutions, even for enterprises and businesses. On the consumer side, it just doesn't exist. Consumers don't buy cyber insurance. So, you also have to look at the cost, right? How much are you going to spend as a household, for example, to protect your digital assets? Are you going to spend $100 a month, or are you going to spend $1 a month? And so, until consumers realize that the danger is real, and I think they're starting to, and are willing to invest into hardware, software, insurance to protect their digital and hard assets properly, you know, we're going to have these gaps. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a dramatic shift to a clearer understanding of what the real need is, product fits for the market that kind of evolve around what where the demand is. We're also looking at a very new consumer post-COVID time. You have consumers who are now using telemedicine. They're using Zoom more frequently than they have before. PC sales have skyrocketed in the past couple of years. They're now at their new highs post, 2012, when everyone thought, everyone's going to be using, the cloud, and everyone's going to be using iPads, and no one's going to be using PCs, and the opposite's happened. And so now all these devices are out there in the market. All this demand is out there. Consumers are more working. They're working from home and studying from home, and so the understanding of what is needed to be secure is different than it was, let's say, 2-3 years ago. And so I think it's, to a certain degree, is a good thing, because now the awareness has lifted and demand is there. I think product companies need to come up with new products to sell, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're compiling various different technologies and products and services to bring to market, to bring to these consumers and explain them. That's why we have services as an included component to all of our software sales because of this. But, it's exciting, and I think it's going in the right direction. It's finally going in the right direction.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.